Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, so we're going to leave it there because, as I said earlier, it's likely to take about an hour more, longer than we've got time to play it. So we are going to pause there and we're going to have that conversation, I promised you. Young people, please gather around. If you're young, if you are unemployed and you really are interested in networking and all of that, this is your moment. So I do have in studio Managing Executive and Special Projects Lead at Empower Works, Sibongile Kangla. Thank you so much for being with us this
evening. Thank you so much for having me, Pinelo.
And, you know, we touched on this a little bit as one of the many entities that you run at Empower Works, but I think it's a very important time to touch on Empower Youth and the Indaba that's going to be happening on the 27th of February. Mm-hmm. Let's just maybe speak about what the initial plan was and how this entire initiative came about.
This is the birth child of our founding CEO, Mr. Simphiwe Masiza, which you had, the privilege of, conversing with a couple of weeks ago. And it was really just about being a social entrepreneur that is solving for societal needs. And he birthed Empower Youth based off the fact of paying it forward and taking it back home where he comes from, which was Orange Farm. And it was, a situation of seeing a sea of unemployment, but a sea of opportunity in young people. Himself being a product of the Orange Farm, area, and what his life became of because of opportunity and because of, sponsors that found him along the way and decided to sow seeds into his potential to the point that he was able to build an establishment such as Empower Works. So he decided to start this Empower Youth platform to connect young people to opportunity and to bring industry to the community. And that's how the model of Empower Youth was birthed. Going into peri-urban areas where those opportunities are often isolated and completely distant from where those young people are. But also the information that leads them to opportunity is not generously offered in those spaces. So activating through summits where he would bring the private sector, public sector, civil society, organized labor and business to start scouting for talent in Orange Farm. And then, of course, we know that the unemployment question is a national crisis. So then it grew legs and it started, finding expression in other areas. And partners would often say, we've got a particular, objective now to develop, Gqeberha in the Eastern Cape. And then Empower Youth would travel with that partner to activate there and just, replicate the model. And that's essentially what Empower Youth has been and grown to being in the past 7 years.
So typically, what actually happens at the summit?
It first starts with activations. Yeah. So we've got an incredible activations team that goes and susses out the landscape of the community ahead of the summit. And in that sussing out, first of all, we're driven by the economic pillars of that district. So if you're in the Northwest, it would be agriculture, it would be mining, it would be transport and logistics. And then we start having conversations with young people. Some of them are active in civic youth engagement and they're able to help us mobilize as well and give us a good sense of the lived experiences of young people in the area. With that data, we're able to go back to our partners and say, this is where the potential is. This is where you can find the talent. And then we fashion the summit accordingly. The summit will have a number of industry stages. So young people are able to curate their own conference whilst they're at summit. So if at 10 o'clock, I want to learn about showing up as the best version of myself and I want to deal with my confidence issues and my self-esteem issues, there's a motivation. Offering on a particular stage, the main stage. But then I'm also quite interested, perhaps, let's say, in retail. And then the young person will move at 11 o'clock to the retail stage, learning the latest insights and trends. And then, asking questions about, how do I access that space? And say, well, look, now there's the advent of, digital commerce, e-commerce, there's e-hailing opportunities. This is how perhaps you can operate whilst you are in Orange Farm or in Muruleng in the Northwest, etc. So it becomes that building of insight and creating a roadmap for you to carve a livelihood for yourself and to see that opportunity in all of its generosity and abundance.
Is there criteria for the kind of young person you're looking to engage?
I think because geopolitically we're focusing on peri-urban areas, it speaks to, you know, the socioeconomic backdrop. Yeah. So that one is the thing, that you come from an undeserved community. Mm. And perhaps you've been dealt with some negative cards when it comes to the quality of education that you've received. And perhaps you weren't able to advance beyond high school. So we bridge those gaps as well. Mm. So the criteria is that we are servicing young people who find themselves on the sidelines of opportunity, naturally or traditionally. And then you have to be between the ages of 18 and 35. But this is a growing concern for us. Mm. With Empower Youth Indaba and just our philosophy going into 2025, we have turned this year the year of reimagining livelihoods and recovering lost ground. Because one, what are jobs and why do people work, right? Because we always talk about unemployment, but it has this traditional face of, I have to wear a suit and go to an office, but then I would have had to go to university I couldn't enter. Yeah. And then it kind of shatters the dream of the young person. Mm. So it's about, you know, casting eyes and redirecting focus to other areas where actually they are quite rewarding. Mm. Vocational training being one of them. Mm. We've got beautiful relationships with our education and training authorities. Yeah. And really making that, you know, cool again. You know, back in the day, that was a cool thing to be an artisan, and people were making money and you could evolve into an entrepreneur in the space. We're taking young people into that direction again. The digital economy again, transferring knowledge, skills and trade. What are the opportunities there? And perhaps with all the Wi-Fi that you find at hotspots, perhaps instead of, you know, sitting on, you know, social media and liking and, you know, doing stitches all day, perhaps you can be enterprising in how you interface with the digital environment. So it becomes that reimagination.
So obviously with the work you've done, you've gathered some data. Mm. What seems to be the missing gap here between what industry is looking for and what young people are able to offer? Clearly you've identified the fact that there's a gap between mm-hmm. the two meeting, number one, and the expectations of both parties.
Well, industry is actually inundated with young people that are seeking traditional opportunities, whereas industry is constantly evolving and it's morphing into different types of needs to be globally competitive as well, if you think about it domestically. So to that point around the artisanal, you know, training, entrepreneurship as well, industry is investing a lot into ESD work, the ESG focus, which is primarily focused on women and youth. That space, when it comes to green financing and sustainability policies, are actually making it quite difficult for corporates in particular to spend their money in ways outside the ESG focus. Mm. Because the future is young people. Women are prone to the vulnerabilities and just the dangers of climate change, etc. So we have to solve for their realities and their circumstances. Mm. And it is best for them to solve those solutions themselves. So we're looking for, you know, the markets are looking for entrepreneurs. So I think entrepreneurial literacy is lacking.
Yeah.
Compliance when it comes to how do we onboard people onto our supplier databases. Mm. So that becomes a knowledge, portal that we offer to young people. Vocational training, like I mentioned. But also other industries that aren't getting the youth appeal, such as agriculture. But I see it's on the rise slowly. I know with one of our partners, the AgriCita, we actually, were with them when they were hosting the inaugural Agri-Edu Symposium, where they were talking about reforming the curriculum to meet current and future industry needs and to bring young people to see the opportunities, that it's not just wearing boots and, tending to the field, but you can be an engineer, you can be all kinds of things, but also you can be part of the value chain. Mm. You could be transporting the goods to the markets, etc., etc. So industry is really lacking a pool that is diverse of young people. Young people are gravitating towards industry for the same opportunities. Yet the global market, and in fact our economy, needs to be competitive and cover all of, you know, the needs that it demands.
You also then get feedback from young people who've been on the programs. Mm-hmm. And I remember at some point for a while now, there was this push for incubating young people. Mm-hmm. And everybody was incubating young people. And after said incubation period, it was like they're back to square one.
Yes.
We've been given all these tools. We've been told what to do, how to formulate our business plans, and. We've been incubated. And then what?
Yeah.
So what are the learnings for those who are entrepreneurial, for those who are actually doing the work? And this economy is struggling. You know, there's a bigger problem here outside of just one particular company or sector. Mm. The economy in itself is struggling.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the ticking of boxes is quite notorious across, you know, different programs. And ours, of course, is a connector and a convener of the decision makers who have the deep pockets to invest in youth development and empowerment, have been, you know, constantly and amplifying our voice when it comes to sustainability.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even with, you know, even from the public sector programs like the expanded public works program, which actually the government was quite proud to say it creates employability. You'll be in the system for a couple of months, but then you'll be able to go find jobs for yourself. What's the scalability and sustainability outlook? Because, you know, you need that. You need to keep them in the system. The president spoke in the State of Nation address about professionalizing the public sector. Mm. And he was speaking mainly to local government and saying there's room for young people to participate. But ultimately, that is meant to be a pipeline for succession planning for the next government bureaucrats that will serve in public service. So, you know, that's an issue, and that takes investment.
Yeah.
I think it speaks, one, to the spirit of wanting long-term impact and not just ticking boxes, and then investing the resources, including time, to be patient enough to train young people as they go up in those upward trajectories. So I think it's an investment question, and just really being genuine about wanting to create opportunity for young people.
Is industry committed and ready for that sustainability conversation? Because you do have the what they say, and others will say, well, in actual fact, it's not as simple as what they say.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling Google earlier that I saw a job advert in our sector, and we understood the job description and all of that, and we have people who do that kind of work here. I mean, this particular job is an entry-level job, but this client was asking for 5-year experience.
Imagine.
And we thought, what a barrier. I mean, who has 5 years experience at this level of what they're looking for? So a bit of a disconnect, and I think the reality of what the market is really asking of young people, and not them willing to do the work of onboarding young people, training the young people, upskilling them, and as you said, invest in them.
Absolutely. No, you're right. And I mean, again, it goes to questioning whether we really claim we are what we claim we are about, right? And this is why the Indaba becomes important, because we have, you know, invited people who are at the core face of solving for the youth unemployment crisis. And ours is to say, well, you've had these isolated milestones, ourselves included as Empower Youth, where we know that we can multiply this impact, given that the investment is there, because we also can't do it without the opportunities. Yep. We don't have the opportunities at scale.
Yeah.
And to say, well, you've made pronouncements in, even now, you know, State of Province address that you want to create 20,000 jobs by whatever. So we're inviting the public sector, the private sector to say, well, with these outlooks that you've had, how are you doing it? Because these are just pronouncements if they stand as this. And we as advocates and thought leaders in the matching of opportunity and talent are available to create that sustainability. Because to your point, we've had situations where, you know, only a couple of partners will be with us for the long haul. But then you have a sea of young people that we can't keep in employment and so forth. But also from a point of partnerships. Sometimes perhaps an organization doesn't have the capacity to keep a young person post an internship, right? But that's where collaboration comes in, where you're able to pass on and pass on and pass on. And that's not what we're doing, because every industry is working in a silo. Every part of the value chain is working in a silo. You feel like you've done your good, and then someone else must take care of it. But we have, I think, some moral obligation to see
through
the sustainability.
I like the moral obligation, because beyond onboarding somebody as a ticking box exercise, there are harder questions to be had. And I like the fact that even the content of the Indaba speaks to some of the challenges and some of the things that you get to experience and young people themselves get to experience. Some entrepreneurs who would tell you, you know, yes, this particular partner, yes, has given me work and yes, has given me business, but they're not willing to scale me. Mm-hmm. They're not willing to give me the big contract. Mm-hmm. I've proven myself. I've been here. But they only give me the crumbs. Mm-hmm. And how am I going to be bigger? How am I going to grow? How am I going to empower other people and employ other people? And those are the moral conversations that we need to have.
Absolutely. If we really want to see success, I mean, to your point about you're not giving me the big contracts, yeah, right? So our part is also to speak truth to power, yeah, I suppose, or power to truth, yeah, either way that you look at it. And if I look at one of our platforms, Empower Entrepreneurs, where we match SMMEs in early to expansion phase to find funding. That's always been the question, to say young people and, you know, just SMME owners have invested in their businesses. Mm. And if we say that we want businesses that can stand the test of time, but also that are not only scalable and sustainable, but can create employment,
yes,
then we've got to put our money behind them, right?
Yeah.
So to your point, it's just really about being committed, yeah, and investing money where we know we will see sustainability in the long term.
How do young people become a part of this endeavor?
Definitely stay connected with us. The Indaba in particular is not for them in terms of attendance. It is representing them in terms of bringing the insights and these actionable strategies into a compilation of a white paper.
Got you.
Collectively, as you know, the partners and the stakeholders will be participating, which we'll present to the President of the Republic of South Africa. He's invited partnership. He said he's got some ideas. He was punting and he was quite anxious about the idea of livelihoods.
Mm.
And even the time question, which we are also quite focused on, around recovering lost ground.
Yeah.
So we're saying we're here to partner, and we're hoping that he'll interact with that white paper to bring these partners, ourselves included, into the fold. Because again, in that sense, you find that, yeah, there's one or two youth platforms,
yeah,
that are prominent in that conversation when it comes to the attention of the presidency.
Mm.
But youth employment is an everybody responsibility.
Yeah.
And there's many, many, you know, hands that are willing to play their part in changing and shaping new realities and futures for the youth.
How do we follow? So it's Empower Youth?
It's Empower Youth, but you can, get in touch with me if you want to partner,
okay,
In any sense or
yes,
form. Sibongile at empowerworks.co.za, and it's Empowerworks, EMPOWAW.
Essentially.
I lost my train of thought. And then our website, of course, where you can really stay tuned to the developments. We've got a huge lineup this year of where we're going to be across the country. So www.empowerworks.co.za.
Okay. And so I think that's actually the very big point here, is that where are the partners? You know, if you are sitting here saying, well, I need young people, this is an opportunity for you to get in touch.
Absolutely.
To say, I'm here, I want to be part of the solution. And essentially, this is really where you'd be able to get in touch with young people. And, you know, as you said, workshop ideas,
yes,
and get data and try and do better,
yeah,
at reaching out to these young people.
Yeah, and belong to a community of advocates for this change, because it's all about allyship. And sometimes you might feel that even with your fancy title and the corner office, that you don't have the voice or the power to bring this to the conversation in the boardroom.
Yes.
Yet you've got the keys to unlock that, yeah, ESG budget,
yeah,
that ESD, ESD budget.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're fresh out of ideas on how to invest,
yeah,
it, right? So come on board and come listen to the representations. The impact reports are there. The pockets of, you know, success stories and milestones are there.
Love
and
it.
you have, you know, the opportunity to play a very positive role in multiplying those efforts.
Spongile, thank you. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. And we'll keep punting the fact that, you know, industry must be involved.
Absolutely.
Industry must get their hands dirty and do the right thing. So thank you very much for coming through and for letting us know about this.
And thank you so much to you, Pamela, and the Kaya 959 team for the support.
You are so welcome. So that's Managing Executive and Special Projects Lead at Empower Works with an RX. And our conversation was essentially about Empower Youth in Durban. It's happening on the 27th of Feb. Folks, if you are running a company, small or big, whatever the industry, whatever the sector, this is the time for you to get in touch. There are hundreds upon hundreds of young people who are looking for opportunities. They're not necessarily looking for your big bucks. They are looking to partner. They want to do things with you. This is an opportunity to get in touch. And this is a wonderful space for you to also get some insights on things that, that need to be done. So let's just also get you the email address. You said Sibongile, it's Sibongile at empowerworks.co.za.
Yes.
All right. Sibongile Kangla is, as I said, Managing Executive and Special Projects Lead and at EmpowerWorks. Well, that brings us to the end of the show for today. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.